You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome to a very fun edition of Ask Drone You as we discuss the ultimate guide for equipment when it comes to drone mapping. As you can imagine, I am quite excited, and as you can imagine, Rob is not losing any hair over this particular topic.
None to lose, Paul. None to lose. Thank you for rubbing it in. If you're gonna rub it in, at least rub in some hair growth solution.
You know, I'm not sure
I prefer that not happen.
Yeah, that was quite the thing to picture there. So I'm going to just let that one rest in everyone's mind right now that's listening to this show.
Just buy me some for my birthday. Anyways.
Rogaine?
If
we start getting shipments of Rogaine to the office, like, you are the only person to blame, okay?
I'll give it a shot. Actually, I'm perfectly content the way things are.
I didn't know the celebration for 1,000 episodes would be you getting presents of Rogaine.
Hey, we got to leverage every opportunity that this podcast brings our way, right?
It is true. It is true.
All right. I am actually very excited to hear your answer to this question because, number one, I think it's a good question. I actually like the way that this gentleman worded it and phrased it. And then I've seen you working on the answer, and I think it's going to be good stuff. So let's play it.
Hello guys, this is Paul with Airspeed out here in Arkansas, and we're trying to get into precision survey grade mapping, and there's so much equipment out there that it becomes extremely confusing. I've got quotes all over my desk here from enterprise type drones, from the Phantom 4 all the way through to the new Matrix 210 RTK V2. And I am wondering, how much money does my company need to spend to get into this market and do it well? Am I needing what Propeller offers in their kit all the way to what I can get from like Drone Nerds with the full package with the Matrix 210 RTK. I hope that's not a confusing question, but I wanted to lay it out for you guys. Thank you.
Thank you for the question. I like the way he said, what's it going to cost to get into this business, into this industry, but to do it well? Because that's a really important clarification, and it shows that his mind's in the right place, and so I like that. So help him, Paul.
Well, I think one of the most common problems that we see whenever we're doing enterprise trainings is that people are buying the wrong equipment. Just hands down, they're buying the wrong equipment, or they're buying equipment that they don't know about. So this is actually something that I'm actually very, very familiar with. And it's one of those things that, you know, if you get started off on the wrong foot, Rob, then you could end up sad, like this little drone here on the screen in our top left corner. You buy the wrong drone and you're going to be like that drone, just very, very sad, droning on to no one who wants to listen to you. So what we're going to do is, I think it's really important to talk about on a kind of a macro perspective, what is all the equipment that you need as a drone mapper to get into this properly? Because there are some people like surveyors and engineers who already have very high level RTK GPS that do not need to buy GPS solutions to georectify their maps. And that really saves a lot of money because, and I want to bring this up because if you're a drone service provider and you're trying to get into mapping, it's so important that you think about which verticals of mapping you want to get into. In fact, at our last mapping class, we had a lot of people in engineering fields, surveying fields, but we also had someone from the movie industry in our class, director of photography, who's worked on some major films.
Very cool.
And he's like, I want to use this to shot block. I think it's a very smart way to shot block all of my stuff. And it just made me think like how excited I am for him to be there, because he can do all of his drone mapping and he doesn't have to buy any GPS. He's just doing 3D modeling. He's literally just creating a model of what already exists. He's not ground truthing it. He's not drawing brake lines. He's not, you know, doing boundary lines.
The accuracy element isn't terribly important to him.
Not important at all.
Nice.
And, you know, if you're in marketing and you're doing, you know, resort marketing, hotel marketing, or other types of marketing as a whole, then drone mapping can really provide some materials that other people just simply can't provide. In fact, while I've got this pulled up, I'm just going to go ahead and pull up that interactive map that we did just one more time to show people, because when it comes to marketing, you know, you can create a map of the exterior, you can also create a map of the interior, and when you do those two things together, you can create a really beautiful, seamless model that people can explore inside and out. It's one of those things that it really allows people to fully view and tour something when they are not there. It's that ultimate remote experience, I think, is the right way to really showcase that.
Of course, doing something like this is even another level of equipment, though. So not GPS, but some other equipment.
Yeah, so this is exterior mapping with a drone, and it's interior mapping with the Matterport Plus camera. That camera is about $5,000, and I've been following the MUG group. That's Isabel Wang's group, the Matterport Operators and Users group. It's probably not the right pronunciation, but whatever. And she's taught me a lot about Matterport in general. So here's the model of the Randy Travis house again. Just want to show this is something that we did. Again, you know, we had mapped it before. We'd had a class there, but went back and kind of did it the right way. And, you know, I love this map because you can very clearly see that this hallway is quite long and skinny. That is because it houses a bowling alley.
Okay. And
a shooting range.
Yeah.
So if you're like Rob and
cool?
You like to, you know, take your aggression out on shooting ranges, well then this is the place for you. Now if you're like me, you're more creative
I'd shoot
type.
The bowling pins. All right. Anyways, go ahead.
And you want to see what Randy Travis's art studio looks like, because you're like, you know what? I just wonder where these people would hang out. So I'm just going to click and let's go right inside. All right. So now we are literally going right inside of Randy Travis's house. I'm just trying to show an example of what you can do. Show me that art studio. Yeah, buddy. Look at this thing.
I'd do some art in there.
I would. Yes, me too, Rob. Me too. I'm going to refrain from comment after that.
Please.
But here
that is not the kind of art that I was talking about, Paul.
Here, I love these vigas, by the way. I mean, it's just so beautiful, this house in general. They have that Spanish tile. It's so very Santa Fe-esque. It's beautiful. But going back to, in fact, you can look through the window, and there's the stables where Vic did his light painting class. Let's see if I have it. I think I do. Yep, there it is. Literally, I got both on screen. Look at that.
Nice.
So if you didn't know, we have an entire class using Loom cubes. This image looks like it was taken during the day, but if you actually look at the shadows, you can tell it was taken at night. There was a drone flying lights, and this is about 25 images stacked on top of each other. If you want to learn light painting, check out Vic Moss's light painting class.
That is so cool.
Yes, and it is free to members, so check that out. But anyway, back to mapping. Okay. So I made up a little list here. We've talked about if you're a drone service provider, you're going to need some sort of GPS solution. If you are a traditional surveyor or an engineer, you probably have a lot of these solutions already. If I'm a DSP drone service provider, typically I'm going to need a GPS solution, a landing pad, or some sort of ground control point. I'm going to need some sort of drone, and I'm going to need some sort of processing software. So let's break this down really fast, all right? If we're going to be doing drone mapping that's accurate, we're going to need ground control points. While there is a more conservative workflow that's been proven, there also is the more advanced workflow that utilizes the P4 RTK. I'm going to go over just a quick overview of, hey, this is what you need, and then I'm going to kind of break down some of the different systems and the value adds therein. So, okay, drone mapping. Here we are. Here's the What is Drone Mapping page on DroneU. You can go through this and check out lots of cool information about what people are using this for. But at the very bottom, you see this page that says the mapping landing pads. Whenever we're doing drone mapping, Rob, do you see this guy in the bottom right corner? And it's our faces are kind of blocking it a little bit. But there's a guy who's shooting a ground control point. There's a DroneU landing pad there. And he's utilizing a GS-18 Leica RTK GNSS rover to pull these points. Okay. So whenever we're doing drone mapping, we need GCPs. GCPs are two parts. What, like I just said, GPS and part landing pad. We need to see our ground control points in the map because we do know that this particular location, this landing pad, is a known point. We have to see that point in 8 to 12 images to be able to mark that point as accurately as we can to get the best accuracy possible. Now, another solution for this is utilizing propellers arrow points. At our last class, we shot the arrow points and we used landing pads. People have asked me, what is the big difference? Well, RTK, if you're in an urban environment, is much more reliable. It's a lot faster. You get your data almost instantaneously. Mm. And you also see what your data looks like instantaneously. With propeller arrow points, it's a great solution if you're in an area that does not have cellular data or is not close to or within some sort of network that provides real-time kinematic corrections to your GPS data to get the most accurate position possible. Okay, so there's PPK, arrow points, post-process kinematic, and there's RTK, right? Now, oftentimes there is a solution if you don't have RTK, you can use a PPS or a PPP system to gather points that are post-processed satellite data, but I'm not going to go down that path, all right? So, drone mapping, we need a drone, high-grade GPS, and a way to see that GPS point on the ground. That way we can accurately geo-rectify our maps. So as I've shown here on screen, these are our DroneU landing pads. Yes, shameless plug, I'm definitely going to promote our landing pads. I've had multiple people come back to me and say they love these landing pads because they're flexible, so they can go on multiple surfaces. So if you want to show just the curb and pull a point on just a curb, you can do that. But it also, because the landing pads are almost 20 times ground sampling distance, the actual total pad, if you're doing survey grade mapping, is actually 40 times ground sampling distance. This makes marking the ground control points in the software much, much easier. As you can see on the left side of my screen, when we're zoomed in at the pixel level, discerning the center point of that particular landing pad, I mean, you can see this right here, Rob, is very, very easy.
Yep.
Compared to picking that same point if you were using a traditional ground control point like I have in the bottom left corner here, this black and white one with the grommet in the middle, that makes your projection error go up significantly and it makes your overall error go up as well. So that's why we made these landing pads. This was the 7th edition of the landing pad. If you remember the white editions,
That's right.
You remember the editions that did not have scale constraints, like we've really gone through the ringer
on
this.
A lot of iterations, and they look great too.
They really do.
I mean,
they actually really do look
biased, obviously, but I think they look cool.
I think they look pretty cool as well. You know, with that said, though, Rob, you know, you have your GPS unit. So we use the Leica system. We love the GS-18 Rover, and I believe it's called the CS-32 or CS-20. I can't remember. The data collector. Now, if you are a drone mapper and you're trying to get into, you know, precision mapping, it may be best to try to get a job with a surveyor who already has this equipment where you can bring in an astronomical amount of value and help them, you know, really scale up their services. I think that's a great pathway for people if that's the way they want to go, or just continue being a contractor and still help out those people as well. But if you don't have GPS, the GS-16, which is the Leica unit below the GS-18, the GS-18 has tilt compensation on the pole, so it measures for if you're tilted all out of whack, it's still going to measure that point absolutely perfectly. Maybe not perfectly. But that unit, Rob, as you saw, costs more than what I paid for my last car.
Yeah, that's right.
It really actually is.
And they're actually hard to find as far as renting them, right?
They are, but we are working with Surveyor's Source to offer a new rental solution for DroneU members. Mm-hmm. We are having actually a webinar with HTS Solutions, who is going to be renting AeroPoints to our DroneU members. But if you're going to be renting the RTK solution, you're going to be working with a group called Surveyor's Source. They are here in Albuquerque, and they actually have been creating a program specifically for DroneU members. Mm-hmm. So that way they can get a unit if they don't have, what is it called, the SmartNet available or cellular connection available. We have a solution that's built into those receivers where they can still gather points and ensure that they still get points even in areas that are negative network. They don't have any network signal for whatever reason. Which, as we found, I can be a mile away from the road that has a network and still not get the network. So that has happened. So anyway, all right, we talked about GPS. We talked about GCPs. GCPs are 2 points. We need a target and a GPS receiver. You can take care of both of those things with AeroPoints. When you're using AeroPoints, you typically upload your data to the AeroPoint system. They've got to correct those points. That's why it's called post-processed kinematic GPS. Okay, glad you got that. Then you got to pull those points back down and mark those points in the software. I really love Propeller AeroPoints. I think it's actually one of the best solutions, the most cost-efficient solutions for drone mappers, especially if they're trying to get in there. I just will say my personal preference has come back to RTK because it's just so fast. Like, it's just like, I mean, we laid out all of our GCPs and pulled them in front of the class in Seattle. So that class got a bonus. It's like, okay, I set up my project. I input my state plane coordinate system. I input the geoid model. Okay, now I'm going to go out and pull my points. I've got to connect to the network. Okay, I've connected to the network. Now I'm going to measure this point. Now I'm going to go to the next point. I've organized my points. So now it's going to be really easy. When I input these, they're going to drop exactly where they need to be. So marking in my map is even easier than I thought. I could keep going. This is why people say even after spending 3 days with me, they still feel like they have so much to learn with mapping.
Well, this has all come through experience. I mean, it's come through doing these jobs and learning.
What is the link for if everyone wants to see our upcoming mapping classes? I'd like to pull that up for everyone to check out really quick, because I think it's something that people need to see. Going back to what we were talking about. So we talked about GPS, we talked about PBK, we talked about RTK, we talked about landing pads. You need landing pads that have a highly contrasting, discernible center point at pixel level from whatever altitude you intend to fly. Just take it from me. It took a lot of calculations to really understand the right size landing pads. By the way, I saw Ongood and Drone Gandhi in his landing pads at the PIX40 office, and that was cool. When PIX40 is using the landing pads, I was like, love it, love it. So they obviously have some value. Now, that being said, what type of drone should you be using to do mapping? And I know people probably hate when they hear this, Rob, but it always depends. I mean, it always depends. In our last enterprise training, we had people that were mapping very large swaths of land, and they needed something that would cover a lot of ground, but also provide good facade data as they had lots of trees. So they decided to go with the EBX, which is their new area or aerial camera. What it does, it actually shoots nadir and then does a little bit of two extra shots that are oblique to provide more data in the model. And I think that is something that's really cool. The EBX is a very expensive solution, but it will help you cover larger areas. So let's just say 500 acres plus per day, okay? Just to give you an idea. If most of your drone mapping is smaller than that, let's say it's smaller than, let's say 300 acres, size of an 18-hole golf course, I would stick with a Phantom because you can still do a lot of stuff. Now, whether you utilize the SenseFly drone, whether you utilize an M600 to map, an M200, an M210, a Phantom, a Mavic 2 Pro, I'm just going to say, if you're going to map, don't buy a Mavic. It's just very simple. Lots of glitches still with all these third-party applications. It is not made for mapping, okay? Just hands down. Can you do it? Yes. Is it practical? No. Would you build a business on it? No. Would you actually build systems that people can make money on? No. Like, you need Sorry, I'm getting a little aggressive again. You need a drone with a global shutter. You need a drone that's reliable, and you need a drone that you know works over and over again. This is why a lot of people are still not using the advanced setup that a lot of these other drones have. Now, while we were in Seattle, there was a particular person who had an M210. For everyone who knows me really well, you know how I feel about that. Anyway, moving on. The M210, you know, it's funny because he had the RTK and everything. And I was like, well, is the TimeSync app actually logging the data in the back end like, you know, DJI said it would do? Because I don't really want to promote the 210 for mapping until, you know, we know that this is working over and over again. I think it might be time to get another drone, what is it called, enterprise dealer on the show to talk about that, because I have yet to see it work consistently, so I'm not going to advertise that it's a great solution. I'm sure it works for some people, but there are a lot of kinks in working with that drone. Now, whether the drone works or not, here is something to consider on whether you should buy that drone for mapping. In order to map with that drone, you are going to have to use 2 batteries every single time you fly. For every 2 batteries you use, you're probably only going to use 1 on the Phantom. And if you map with the X4S camera, it is the exact same camera as a Phantom. Now, that being said, if you're mapping with an X7, totally different story. Now that, you know, Pix40 works with the X7, we've been seeing some more stuff with the X7. I'm going to be doing a new comparison with that camera against the Phantom 4 Pro data to just show people, hey, is this possible or not? My Inspire 2 is currently being worked on by Fortress UAV. Mm-hmm. So when it comes back, I will let you guys know how the X7 is doing for mapping. When we first tried it, the shutter speed was way too slow. And, you know, I checked the data. It wasn't working. So we're going to try again. And I'm going to make sure, because the film.
Are you optimistic?
I am optimistic. In fact, a lot of you don't know, where the Pix4D is doing a conference in October. I am teaching at that conference on how to do highly oblique mapping and merging models together to get data in places other people can't get data. And I intend on actually mapping another stadium, and I'm not going to say which one or where, with entirely X7, Rob. Nothing but X7, because I think I'm going to go even deeper down the rabbit hole. And that's a place that I like to spend some time.
Nice and cozy in there.
It is. I've been following the White Rabbit since 2001. Anyway, long story short, the conservative workflow working with the Phantom 4 Pro, I'm going to be using less batteries than a Mavic 210, or excuse me, a Matrice 210, or than a Matrice 200. In addition, I'm going to be using less batteries than an Inspire 2. So Phantom still holds its value here. It's the most efficient, easiest to use drone for mapping. If I'm using the M210, typically I'm going to have to use the Ground Station Pro app through an iPad. I'm not sure if Crystal Sky is still working yet with the mapping platform. I've heard of some glitchiness. I've heard it's worked from some people. I've heard from other people they're having a lot of problems with it. So again, I don't have firsthand experience on the 210. I haven't delved there yet because I'm still in the Phantom camp. I'm still in the create the most efficient business systems possible to get my clients their data in a way that they like their data and in a way that's most efficient for me, which means when I'm doing something with drone mapping, Rob, this is a very systematic, formulaic, technical mission. Every single step must be followed. If it's not, your data sucks. Mm-hmm. And then you're out there doing it again. So that's why I'm trying to create these habits and routines that every time I can just go out there, pull up the app, click the button, do the thing, GCPs, and I'm out. All right. It's not play with the app. Okay. It's not connecting. Okay. Let's try a new app. Okay. Let's try Litchi. Okay. Let's try this. And I, you know, I'm just going to fly it myself. So when I tell people that when it comes to producing a business with the most efficient systems possible to do drone mapping, you literally can never go wrong with a Phantom 4 Pro or a Phantom 4 Advanced. In fact, I would say that most people I know that are advanced pilots are just flying the advanced drone. And all it has that's different from the Phantom 4 Pro, or all that it doesn't have, excuse me, is side-facing and rear-facing obstacle avoidance. So if you're comfortable with that, because like I said, you create habits, you take the MOCA every single time that you go out and you map. If you're constantly calculating for the MOCA, you're not going to need obstacle avoidance. Anyway, If you don't know what the MOC is, you got to attend our mapping classes. Where's the best link to check out our upcoming mapping classes?
Email it to you.
Awesome. So if you go to buytickets.at/DroneU, you should get to a page that looks like this. All right. So if you want to join us for a mapping class, I just thought this was a good time to take a break from the equipment talk. We've got a mapping class coming up in Milwaukee. That's at June 27th through 30th. We intend to have the flight mastery training before that. I would say every single person who's attended our mapping class needs flight mastery training. I would say some of the most advanced pilots I've ever met need flight mastery training. I would say that even myself, after not flying for a couple months, needs flight mastery training. So this is not about ego. This is if you want to be the best and you want to build confidence and you want to truly take your skills to the next level, flight mastery. There's a reason that people require flight mastery as a part of their training program at very large national agencies. Anyway,
by the way, on the Milwaukee class, there's still time to get in for that one, even though it's at the end of the month. The mapping subject matter for that is really unique and cool. So
tell us about it. What is
it? Well, so it's a quarry. Quarry. Yeah, anyway, so it's a quarry. I think they do gravel and maybe some other things there. But what I'm curious about, I would love for you to talk about why that is a cool place. And what are some of the unique elements of mapping that people are going to learn?
Well, I think quarries are actually a great opportunity to showcase cut and fill volumes, do volumetric measurements, have a lot of data to really work with that. It's also a great data set to help people understand how to create MTPs, manual tie points, to then create their polylines, which a lot of people would create their brake lines from their polylines. So actually, I think it's a fantastic and phenomenal example of gathering data to showcase, you know, direct, actionable, dollarized value to a client right then and there. So the fact that we're going to go in there and we can say, look, you've cut away this much material, and this is how much material is in that pile, and this is how much is in that pile. And we mapped that about an hour ago.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. One other thing that just occurred to me is that, and I don't know if this is significant or not, but I'm going to ask the question. So typically you are mapping, one is mapping something that sort of evolves upward, shall we say, right? In terms, yeah. So it's a subject, it's a building, it's something that goes up. This is something that goes down, because it goes into a hole. So does that change things? Is that interesting at all? It seems unique and interesting, or is it not that big of a deal?
Other than the parallel of Dante's Inferno, I don't think it's very interesting.
Okay. All right. Well, I was just curious because it's unique, because it's different. We haven't done anything like that.
It is very unique. In fact, I get to what you're saying. I'm really excited too. Yeah. I'm really excited for this class. In fact, I've noticed that the longer that we have certain mapping classes up, typically the more people that sign up. But this is one you really won't want to miss. So if you're in Chicago or Milwaukee or Illinois, or you're in St. Paul, it's really not a long drive to head up to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We're doing it in Milwaukee over Chicago because it's just so much easier to find places. Mm-hmm. I just want to give a shout out to John Elliott for helping
you,
us,
John,
with this.
He made it happen. He's made this. I wish he was in every city that we do these, because
that's saying a lot.
It is saying a lot.
Are you going to tie his shoes when we get there?
If I was there, I would tie his shoes.
Wow.
I don't know what the reference is, but...
Wow. Okay.
I don't know what that means.
I'm not tying his shoes. I'm just saying that, all right?
Oh, speaking of shoes, if you do go to Milwaukee, this is something that you're going to need to know. You have to have steel-toed shoes.
Wait, why?
Because we're going to be on a work site, essentially.
That means I have to buy steel-toed shoes.
I told John, I said, is there any flexibility in the steel-toed shoes thing?
Hey, if John McBride showed up, he'd be like, screw your steel-toe boots. Check out my flops, baby.
Well, he'd be flying from the other side of the fence.
And he'd probably be cool with that, because I'd be right next to him.
He probably would. That's fine. To each their own.
Okay.
I love you, John McBride. Love you too, John Elliott. Really do appreciate it. But anyways, yeah, steel-toe shoes. John tells me you can get them for $50 to $70.
Yeah, at Walmart.
Who cares?
I guess that's a good point. I just want to, be like Fixed Wing Sing. I want to have a little bit of shoe fashion going on.
Well, okay. Well, let's see what you come up with. What I want to see is your white socks pulled up, your boots Mm-mm. going halfway up your shin.
Let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen me in white socks?
Well, there's a first for everything.
No. I'm saying, like, have you ever seen me in white socks?
I don't think that's relevant to what I want.
What color are my socks right now?
I don't care. Nor do they. They only care about seeing the white sock version.
I don't wear white socks. It's a weird little OCD thing. I'd never wear white socks.
I actually didn't know that.
That's funny, because when I see some of the people in our mapping classes, I'm like, ooh, white socks.
I cannot wait, because I think when I turn 55, it's when I can officially wear white socks with white New Balance. That's kind of the...
No? Wow. Wow. We just took a turn for the worst here.
Yeah, that's probably a good place to sign off.
No. We have to go over the advanced workflow. Okay, we're not done here yet.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, so we talked about
lunch
the drone.
Was at 11:30.
We talked about GPS. I don't have my... I'm sorry for our team. So we talked about GPS.
Get an appetizer.
We talked about landing pads. We talked about drones. The most efficient drone for the most accurate maps consistently that are reliable. It's the Toyota Camry of drones. Phantom 4 Pro, Phantom 4 Advanced, go get one. Now, if you're doing the advanced workflow, there is the P4 RTK. The P4 RTK does come with a base station so that if you're in an area that does not have cellular data or access, you can put the base station over a known point. It will communicate with the drone and provide corrections therein. I will just say, there are still some issues being handled with the RTK drone. If you utilize the propeller AeroPoint program where you buy the P4 RTK with an AeroPoint and then use their software to process, their software actually does a very good job in the cloud. Obviously, there's still some cloud limitations for all of you out there who've been listening to me talk about cloud softwares before. So just one thing I just want to say to everyone is that I think that if you are building a consistent, reliable drone program and you're using the P4 RTK with AeroPoint, it is probably one of the most bulletproof systems that's out there when it comes to the RTK and processing as a whole. Don't forget, as we mentioned in one of our previous episodes, there's a very unique workflow that goes along with the P4 RTK when processing in any photogrammetry software. And it's that whole MSL geoid offset value. That value can change over larger areas. So there are solutions to it, a little bit more work. It's still, you know, as one of my good friends would say, who's doing a lot of mapping, it's a phenomenal tool. It's just not quite there yet. There's just a couple of little kinks that once worked out, the P4 RTK will actually be light years beyond the P4 or the P4 Pro, P4A. So as far as the advanced workflow is concerned, P4 RTK, phenomenal unit. You know, our question asker asked about the M210 RTK. There is the new, you know, TimeSync app that works with that, that is supposed to utilize the RTK GPS for the EXIF data on the photos to make them highly accurate. But I just, you know, I don't have the experience with that. I also, you know, wonder if they're actually calibrating the position of the camera sensor on that drone with the RTK, and then which camera is actually calibrated, because there's a, you know, if you've come to my class, you know three things affect ground sampling distance: altitude, focal length, sensor size. Okay. X7, X4S have different sensor sizes, different focal lengths. Okay. So, is the drone calibrating the position of the sensor and the focal length and actually writing that data to the EXIF every single time consistently in an easy form factor that people can use over and over again? I do not have a solid answer for that yet. So,
wow.
I'm back to the P4 Pro. All right. So just a quick recap. He asked, what is the ultimate, or, you know, what drone and equipment do I need for drone mapping? As a quick recap, if you are a drone service provider, you are going to need things for your ground control points, which means GPS and some sort of pad or some sort of way to see that known point on the ground. We have our landing pads if you want to use those. GPS, you can use an RTK GNSS Rover. It's about $25,000. You can get them used on eBay for like $7,000 to $8,000. You need to make sure that they're set up properly. Option number two are the PPK arrow points, which is a phenomenal option, especially if you're in an area that does not have cellular service or a SmartNet-like system to connect to a GPS network. Whew. You also need a drone. The best drone by far for mapping in a reliable, consistent manner is still the P4 Pro and the P4 Advanced. If you want the RTK drone, you are familiar, as you are a surveyor, with the limitations of the RTK workflow. I do recommend the Phantom 4 RTK. It does actually calibrate the position of the sensor and writes the RTK data right to the images. So boom, we're good there as well. And then processing software, we have that entire page that I just want to make sure that everyone checks out and that goes over the different software, because there's different types of software. There's acquisition software, there's processing software, and there's all-in-one software. If you haven't read this page, go to thedroneu.com/what-is-drone-mapping-software. It is linked in the show notes. In fact, I sent it to you already. So make sure you check that out, because in fact, I've been diving deeper into Bentley's context capture. I have to say, I am phenomenally impressed.
Really?
Yes.
Nice.
Like, it blows Pix4D out of the water when it and Capture Reality out of the water when it comes to 3D textured meshes and point cloud reconstruction. Holy cow. Pix4D context capture is coming for you. The only thing that context capture doesn't have is a price point that's like Pix4D's.
Which is important.
Which will be, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, it is very important because you've actually been able to do a lot of great work with Pix4D. So yep. Obviously it works well.
It does work well, but some of the data products that I'm seeing from context capture are like, holy cow. Like, wow. For example, the baseball stadium, I'm going to be doing one in context capture.
You know what? Could you do me a favor?
Yes.
Do the Catholic school in Seattle using it?
That's actually a great idea. I'm actually having a lot of problems with that data set because, and this is a criticism for you students who came to my Seattle class. A lot of you changed the file structure or downloaded the images and put them into a service. And then when we download them back, it changed the capture time or the name of the file. And so when it does that, when you change any of the metadata on the files, it doesn't read properly. So I forget who had given me their double grid from the early morning, but they had changed the metadata in their photos and I had to scrap the whole thing and use a different data set. So don't change the file structure, okay? Don't change the timestamps. Don't change the file names after you've mapped. Just keep everything the same.
Interesting.
Super simple.
Yeah, because I could see where people would totally do that as a matter of just trying to make it easy to understand what it was, right?
Yep.
You're changing the name so you recognize it, but you can't do that.
True. Very true.
Interesting. So much to learn. You're seeing why it's so important to go to this class. I mean, we've been talking for about 40 minutes, and it's 3 days of this stuff.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. And now you know why I'm so exhausted every time I come home.
Yeah.
And, you know, people say, oh, well, you're only teaching for 8 hours. It's more like 16. You go to dinner, hang out with people, which is like my favorite part, but then they're still asking questions. So I got to be like on for that, you know?
Yeah.
I don't really get a break, but I'm not complaining either. I have a lot of fun. Like, I really do. I have to say, there's just something about Hawaiian people. I met another Hawaiian guy. I think I said this, James. And there's just something about Hawaiian culture that just makes me appreciate everything about life.
Yeah.
So, it's grateful for you guys. Awesome. Anyway, that's going to do it. One more time, go to a Drone U mapping class. You will not regret it. Our entire schedule is up for the rest of the year. And I'm just going to go ahead and go over these classes as we go away for this particular show. Don't forget, it is buytickets.at/DroneU. Next mapping classes, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Salt Lake City, Utah, New York, New York. We already have that location. Very excited about that. Because if you remember, we tried to do a New York class last year and we couldn't get a location. Anyway, it was disappointing. We now have a location, so we're very excited about that. We are doing a business mastery course with mapping in our new training center here in Albuquerque in August. So if you're trying to work on your drone business, I'm going to be putting a lot of information into marketing, building funnels. I actually want to do a whole class on building a funnel because I'm going to build a funnel for DroneU in front of other people and show them, here are the elements that I've created before the funnel. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to show you how to activate this funnel, how to exercise this funnel, blah, 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 blah. We are doing a class in Denver, Colorado, September 12th through 15th. We are back at the Federal Training Academy at the NTSB in Ashburn, Virginia, Monday, September 23rd through 27th. We are not moving that class. We do know that DJI AirWorks announced that they are going to be in LA that same week. We're probably going to have to send Vic or someone else to go. You know, since DJI is not releasing really any new consumer drones this year. I am bummed, but I'm like, oh, we may not actually miss anything this year. So they could also announce something at Airworks and I could, you know, have a shoe in my mouth.
Well,
so.
Either way, we'll have somebody there. So
true. We are going to one of my absolute favorite cities of all time, Tampa, Florida, October 17th through 20th. And then we will be back in Austin, Texas, November 7th through November 10th. Look forward to hanging out with some of our old media buddies. And then we are doing San Diego one more time in December 12th through December 15th. So there you go. They are all the classes for the rest of the year. After this year, Drone U Elite will be offering mapping classes themselves. That is how we are going to scale these classes to offer them for more people as we have been selling them out consistently, which is awesome. So thank you so much for supporting us. Please leave us a review. Let us know how we're doing on this show and send in your questions to AskDroneU.com.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.